God help us, please, remember the refugee. Open up our blinded eyes to see.
Now, earlier, Kent, you were sharing with us the true story of the gentleman who had the opportunity to speak at that church where they were kind of at a crossroads and they were trying to decide which position they were going to take with the immigration refugee issue. And the pastor stood in the back of the church, observing, listening, watching. And at the end of the gentleman's presentation, there was great applause. And one of the things that comes across to me as you shared with us that true story is how, with him being a brother in Christ, not just a person with darker skin, not just someone who had come from another land, but also someone who was their brother in Christ, is our brother in Christ. When they applauded him and for the story that he shared with them about his life, because the Spirit of Christ is in him, they were actually applauding Jesus for the story that he shared with him, because Jesus said very clearly, "And as much as you have done it for the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it for me." Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could share with us more about how our response to refugees and immigrants really has a lot to say about how we respond to Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's really well put, Carl, and I think we do have an opportunity to welcome Jesus, like you said, when he says, when you welcome the least of these, you welcome me. Or if we think about Matthew 25, a passage many of us would know, but in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story of the sheep and the goats and judgment, and tells about how there were people who were there and they were prisoners, and someone visited them, and they were people who are naked without clothes, and they clothed them, and hungry, and they fed them. It says, "And I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." And what Jesus does is go through and says, "Oh, actually, when you help someone else in this kind of need, in prison, in need of food, in need of clothes, and when you help the stranger, you actually welcome me. When you welcome the stranger, you welcome me." So I think what happened in that church when they applauded is they were really not just welcoming a brother in Christ, they were doing that, not just welcoming an immigrant, they were doing that, but they were actually welcoming Jesus in that moment, in a very real way, in a way that Jesus said is real in Scripture for us. And so I think that you're right. I think this takes the conversation to the next level, a deeper level of what the opportunity is and really what's at stake for us, that it's not just about policy and, you know, how many people we bring in or don't bring in, but for those of us who are Christians, it's sort of a question of, are we going to welcome Jesus or not? It gets to be that serious, and Jesus, I think, is coming out of this trajectory that God set with Israel early on in Scripture and back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, those early books in the Bible, where God's people, Israel, were told, it's really important how you treat the foreigner in your land, and to not exploit them, but to welcome them as a citizen. And God says, "Oh, remember, you too were strangers once in another land." And to ground that in who we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to be as God's people, who we're supposed to be as an opportunity to welcome Jesus. And that's why I made the subtitle of this book, Welcoming Refugees. Loving refugees and immigrants because God first loved us, because all this does get to this pretty profound level. It's really practical, but another way it's really profound, that I think that there's an opportunity to applaud and welcome Jesus into our mix when we welcome the stranger. We're not making that up. That's what Jesus said. And so I think that that's right from what you said. You've got to keep going in this discussion now to say, oh, there's a lot at stake here for how we treat others. And that should make us pause, but it also should make us joyful in a way to think, oh, what an incredible opportunity we have to be on the side of welcoming people who are vulnerable and also welcoming God in our midst.
I tell you what, Kent, when you share that with us, I'll tell you something else that you forced me to think about and truly consider. And that is when God had his apostle write that if we don't love God whom we don't see, we cannot love our brother who we do see. And I'm wondering if we have a lot of Christians who don't take that statement of fact as seriously as we should.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think another way I thought about this issue some, just as I was writing and talking with people, and look how the issue is discussed in the church and discussed in the country, is I think, and this happens to me, so I'm first in line to confess, but I think we can be discipled or shaped by people other than Jesus in these conversations. You know, like I can be shaped by and am shaped by what media I watch, by what news I watch, by what politicians I listen to, by what whoever I'm listening to on Twitter, by what articles are popping up on Facebook. Like, all that has a way of shaping how I think about issues. You know, and but another way to say that in sort of more religious type language is to say it shapes how I'm being discipled, who I'm becoming, and how I'm thinking about the world and seeing the world. And so I think you're exactly right that I think when we're aware of that, it helps. And then so I need to confess, oh, I'm vulnerable to other people shaping my life, but ultimately I want Jesus to be shaping my life and love to be guiding my life. So I need to be careful about who I'm listening to and who I'm empathizing with, what kind of stories I'm letting into my life, and you know how I'm seeking for people that we are led to applause many times and led to think, okay, this is an easy welcoming. It's not that it's without cost, like we talked about before, but I think there is incredible opportunity. And so I think of it in terms of, you know, the person we can't see or the story we can't hear, and what's at stake when we're talking about immigrants and refugees. So all these stakes get raised, and we can see, oh, this is an opportunity to welcome God, and also there's a lot at stake. I want to make sure I'm being discipled in a good way on these issues.
I tell you what, that is so real. That is what Christian thinking, considering, living is all about. When we come back, and I got to tell you, I truly appreciate the fact that you're helping us see this very, very important issue from more than one perspective. You're helping us as Christians realize we really need to evaluate whether we're considering this from a Christian perspective, which means we need to be looking at what the Bible is saying about how we treat people in general from the perspective of love. But also you're letting us know that we do have the right and the responsibility to be aware of the real facts surrounding these issues when it comes to economic impact, job impact, etc. Could we talk a little bit more about economic impact when we come back, and then let you close with a biblical principle that we can take with us from this conversation?
Sounds great, Carl.
Okay. Our guest, Kent Annan, and I will be right back. Of Jesus.